yes, love is begging door to door, but finds the silence like no one lives there anymore. Rebellious love.
We are alive. Woo-hoo. Okay, welcome everybody to the Side Quest, the semi sometime couple times a month podcast from sidequesting.com, one of your favorite websites on the internet. That's where you can find us. I am Dolly Domofsky. Joining me as usual is Sam Dixon.
Hello, friends.
Tom will be joining us shortly, but we pulled out all the stops this week, folks, and we hired the heavy hitters. The check is in the mail for one Steven Strzok.
Now, when you say this is live, do you mean like live, or do you mean like you won't be able to cut out all my weird, like, nasty tangents?
It's like both, actually.
All the mean things I say about, I don't know, what's a group of people that we can all feel good about making fun of?
Trump supporters?
Trump supporters? Okay, yeah. I can explain why I'm a hater.
No offense to the Trump supporters that watch us or listen to us.
No, I don't mind.
Well, welcome,
Steven.
But that's
okay, because you can just edit that part where I said that.
I can totally just edit that out, yeah. Because, you know, I don't get lazy after a podcast.
Oh, sure,
welcome,
sure.
Steven. It's good to have you back, bud.
Yeah. It's all right.
Out of video game hibernation. Steven has not been involved in video games whatsoever over the last few months. So.
That's true, yeah. I have been dead.
He's been dead.
You've been
all over the place. You've been all over the place. You've been writing for a bajillion. Why don't you fill us in where you've been, what you've been up to?
Oh, I've been everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere, man. No, I don't know. Where have I been?
IGN.
Waiting for IGN. Yes, as I was just working on that with them today, actually. IGN, PC Gamer for a little bit there. What's another place?
Zam.
Zam. Yes, Zam is a really cool site that more people should check out if you're not checking that one out already. But yeah, all kind of all over the place. Yeah. But the big ones. Oh, Ars Technica, my bread and butter.
Literally your bread and butter. You can just take that website and spread it on itself. Ham on there.
I mean, it is Ars Technica. It is it started out off as a food site, you see.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, they were like a very Epicurean type organization. And then they over time branched out to technology and video games. And they said, like, hey, let's give this Steven Strzok guy a try. He knows about bread, butter, and video games.
Because Strom is the bomb.
Yeah, because Strom is the bomb.
So you had that shirt that you posted on Twitter earlier, and I'm like, that is actually pretty awesome.
To say that I have that shirt is actually a bit of an overstatement, because that is not my shirt. That belongs to my brother, who is a teacher, who was given that by some of his students.
Oh, man. Well, now you have to get that shirt for yourself, dude.
Yes, yeah. No, the advantage to that is because now I have that photo, I can start, and because they were created by students, you see. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with college football, but if it's made by a student, they don't have to get paid. So I can just use that.
True.
and I can just start making money off of it. It's fine.
T-shirt design is exactly like college football. That's what we say in the Midwest, at least.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's my alma mater's motto. That's why I likened it to college football.
That's more like your alma motto.
My alma mater. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's good. This is good. We're saying good things.
We're saying good, really, we're saying intelligible things right now.
We're really adding to the like overall span of the video game industry.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Exactly. Well, this week we're going to have kind of a fun, shorter podcast. I'm spinning in my chair right now. This is actually kind of fun.
Yeah, it's been a blast so far. So you're already two for two on it being fun.
Of course, E3 is coming in a few weeks here. We're going to have our annual big E3 prediction show, so stay tuned for that. But
I predict right now that there will be an E3 this year.
Oh, that's actually tough to figure out because it's not the same E3 that we grew up with in the past years. We'll get to that, though. In that case, I keep looking like I'm closing my eyes in the video. If anybody that's watching the video, it's like,
Can people watch the video?
We stream it. We leave it on the internets, on the YouTubes, for people to watch it.
So you genuinely can't like erase all of my like rampant racism and stuff.
Well, and you hate white people, so that's
pretty. I really do. Like, I mean, they support Trump.
No, I mean, like Casper. You hate like ghosts. That those.
Oh, types. Oh, yeah. I mean, people who are way big into like white face paint. Yeah, totally. Juggalos, just general.
Hold on about the Juggalo fans. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, we are live, sort of in a way. No one. I don't think very few people will actually watch us live. Maybe like two, and that's okay. Probably because they've accidentally come onto the. Right. Live stream.
Yeah, they just mashed a bunch of like random a string of numbers and letters into a browser and just like, oh hey, wait, this is a URL for a Google Hangout. That's weird.
This is weird because I thought I was looking for cupcake recipes and here we are with three dudes in the podcast.
That's the name I'm of the podcast. Now.
You're what?
Freakazoid now.
There you
I
go.
Typed in a random string of letters and numbers and I turned it, you know, Freakazoid. You know Freakazoid? Is that a thing that the kids still know these days?
Of course. And He-Man.
Yeah, and King and the Masters of the Universe. Yes. That was actually before my time, and even so.
Oh God Almighty, that's terrifying. You mean the He-Man movie? You never watched the Dolph Lundgren He-Man movie, which is just it's a classic film.
Not at all. Never seen it.
Oh man, Skeletor was awesome in that. You have to watch that movie. Do yourself a favor, listeners and Steven, and watch the Masters of the Universe movie.
Okay.
Live action film.
So, is that the one where they like come to Earth and like it's yes. All fucking stupid? Okay.
Yep.
Granted, glad that you agree already that it's stupid.
Oh, it totally is stupid. Yeah. Skeletor. Anyways, we're just gonna talk about what we've been playing and catching up on until Tom shows up. You know, I specifically made this 9 o'clock for Tom, and guess who's not here? Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Johnson. Make sure you all find that Tom Johnson on Twitter and just send him. Send him hate tweets. Just hate
let him know how much
tweets.
How much he has ruined my life, specifically mine.
Exactly. Send him photos of amoebas.
Yep.
Send photos of amoebas.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Is that problem with him?
Disney Infinity. yeah.
He probably likes Infinity now that it's closing down.
He only likes things that are dead or dying. It's true.
No, he's specifically happy. He's so happy that a Toys to Life game was broken apart and that all those people lost their jobs, that he's come back around on it and likes it for dying.
That's why he loves Guitar Hero right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, hey, guys, you hear about this Rock Band thing? It's awesome.
So he just has, like, a general, like, problem with, like, games that come with plastic accoutrements.
Well, we're going to talk about what we've been playing. I think that'll be good fun, good times.
When you hear what I've been playing.
So we know what you've been playing. What you're playing right now is Dota, which is what you usually play.
I mean, I haven't actually – this is my first time playing Dota in 3 months.
So the last time we podcast.
Yes.
Right, with Lonely TARDIS. So there you go. That seems to
– That's not true at all. I did not play a single game of Dota during a Lonely TARDIS. I used to play games that I could pause during the Lonely TARDIS.
There you go. That is correct. So Dota, what else – the medicine I'm on. Whew, good Lord. What else have you been playing, Steven?
I've been playing a game that people who follow me on Twitter might have recognized from the like screaming that I did both textually and
textual healing.
It's a game called Battleborn, and it's maybe the worst game I've played all year. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to that is a game I would like to die. I would like to Tom Johnson that game.
I'd like to Tom. I'm going to tweet that out. That's my new verb. So tell us why it's so bad, because I've heard a lot of bad things about this game.
It's just this kind of unending, like, a game where they kind of, like, took all of the ideas from games like Dota and games like Heroes of the Storm and, you know, et cetera, and, like, took none of the lessons from it. They put together this, like, horrible game where you can't tell where you are at any point because your character is this Gearbox being the company that makes Borderlands, for those who don't know. So you're playing this Borderlands over-designed cosplay character that's just designed for Randy Pitchford to take pictures of at some point, post on Twitter of his fans all cosplaying as the same character or something like that. So they've got like these 900 belt buckles and horns and tentacles and like leather straps coming off of their tongues at every point. And all that stuff has collision detection on it. And all that stuff with collision detects onto every leaf and 2-inch stone on the ground. So...
what the game ends up becoming is just this like soupy mess of like where you can't tell where you are because it's a first person shooter, and you can't tell and like you can't tell where you're moving because or if you're about to hit something because your character is like a 900 foot tall slab of meat that just bumps into everything. So you have like zero control over your presence over across the map. The game is just like looks like it was designed by 4-year olds. Like you look at the menus in this game and it's just like just a nightmare. Of like just a bunch of like somebody went like, well, what's a good color for this menu? Green. And then didn't give anybody like any idea of, well, does that type of green fit with our overall design aesthetic in any way? Like, no, but you know, it like I just like spin to a random shade of green on this thing and it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. So everything just looks poorly put together. What else can I say? What other bad things can I say about this game? Yeah, I mean that's about the long and short of it. I mean that's mostly what you need to know. Like it's horrible. Like it's awful.
It's I've heard so many bad things about this game and people talking about it and let me rephrase it. They talked about it for all of like 2 days and then everybody played the Overwatch beta after that.
Yes.
Yes. Battleborn. It was very hyped up by.
Was it?
It was actually when I went to the PSX PlayStation Experience. Battleborn was everywhere there, so
I kind of want to know who was doing that so I can fight them.
Yeah, it almost seemed like every time they were like talked to press conferences or something, it was always just like, hey guys, remember how cool Battleborn looked? Like, still looking real cool. Like, it still looked shiny. And like, yeah, I agree. That game is a mess. Like, I just played in the beta, and even that, like, I tried to play as many characters as possible, but none of their kits like seemed at all interesting, or even like that they worked together. I'm sure that there's some like builds or whatever for good teams, but like I don't know, like the British like gentleman robot that was in the beta, I have no idea what his actual name
Marquis.
Is
I know this because yeah, I play him for hours.
Like his like he's supposed to be a sniper, I'd assume, from what I played, and like none of his like skills ever felt like you were doing anything for like trying to snipe or trying to be like that character. And yeah, something like Overwatch,
there's nothing
like
guilty about him. There's not like what makes him a sniper in that game is that he can shoot from a longer range than some of the other characters in that game. But yeah, they haven't designed any of his abilities or any of like the levels around in such a way that would ever make sniping fun.
Yeah. Where, like, if you play something like Overwatch, like, immediately, I want to call her Black Widow, and I know Widowmaker, that's her name.
Widowmaker,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, immediately, like, her toolkit, like feels like, you know, you feel strong sniping, but then you also feel like if somebody came up on you, you'd be able to handle yourself.
Where says, escape, get away, or, you know, do something. She's got that, like, that tether ability, and, like, the levels are designed in such a way where sniping is a viable option because you can get up to high areas, whereas in Borderlands, I keep wanting to say, Battleborn, it's just this big, flat, messy soup like that nobody gave any thought to when they were designing it in terms of, so like, some characters are just naturally better at being Battleborn characters than others because like the levels are designed so poorly.
Yeah, it almost seems like when they were designing characters that they knew that they had to work together but had no idea how they were going to work together and just relied on like players coming up with their own meta, which I understand and I get, but like unless you give people the tools to actually care about your meta, what's the point of figuring it out?
Yeah. And on top of that, like, I mean, you know, you would maybe think that like, oh, okay, so maybe this character is better on like a different map than this character or something like that, or a different mode or something. And that does pop up from time to time, but there's nothing, there's only two maps for every single mode, and there's only three modes, so there's six maps in this game, which right there, like, I feel like if you're going to make one of these games, you either have to decide, I'm going to make one of these games that's going to have a bunch of maps, or I'm going to make one of these games that's going to have one map, and that's, like, your Dota, that's your Paragon, that's your whatever. And, like, whereas, like, Heroes of the Storm has, like, a dozen maps in that game. But the two maps on all these modes feel exactly the same, because they're just the same, like, one line, like, there's the Incursion mode, which is their MOBA mode, and it's just this one line straight to the enemy, to the other side. So there's no chance, there's no, like, ability to go gank, you know? There's no ability to go play solo, and I'm going to play a lone wolf character who's good at roaming and going to go show up on somebody's doorstep. No, because it's just this one big, giant, long corridor, so everybody knows where you are at all times. So, like, there's no chance that any character can be better on one map versus another map, because the maps have the same basic design and layout, and it's just this linear path.
Well, and from what I can remember about the beta, they did have like two of the campaign missions, but none of those, or at least the two that were in there, didn't do a good job of sort of like setting up and explaining what the multiplayer would be.
No, not in the slightest. Yeah.
Yeah, so it basically makes it appear like it's one of these first-person action like shooter games, and it's like it's just supposed to be Overwatch, but then all of a sudden these MOBA elements get thrown in, and your like normal console shooter player is going to continue playing it like it's a first-person shooter and not right. like just ignore all the objectives. And even when people find out the objectives, then, you know, can you build team comps that are worthwhile, and is it worth it to build it, I guess?
Yeah, and, it's and the answer the often is no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the greater answer is that, like the answer is no, it's not worth finding any of the stuff out because the game is not good enough to, like, warrant it. And, like, yeah. it just on top of, like, the just totally soupy, amateurish design of everything around these characters, and that is, I think, what like, they spent, like, I think you nail it on the head. They spent a lot of time designing these characters without ever actually thinking whether these characters would be fun to use together or anything like that, which I think kind of comes back to the, like, the Gearbox design ethos, which is like this idea that, like, okay, we need to make these characters look like something you could cosplay as. Like that Marquis character just looks like, okay, yeah, it's a dude, he's got two legs, two arms, a head, you can put on some weird mask, like somebody could wear this. And like that's because that's the Gearbox like audience at a certain point, is just like like it's just a bunch of people who like really like these characters. And I fucking despise the characters in Borderlands.
None of them are like worthwhile. Well, none of them are worth like cheering for, unless you want to be like sadistic and love Tiny Tina or somebody.
If you're way into Tiny Tina or fucking Handsome Jack, and it's just like, oh, here's a character who likes to murder shit, and it's like, oh, here's another character who likes to murder shit. Oh wait, this whole game is just
murder shit.
I like to murder shit. Yeah, I like to murder this kind of person. I like to murder animals. I like to murder whatever. And it's just like they made that again, because like all the characters in this game are basically like, oh, I'm the funny robot who likes to murder shit, you know, or like I'm the nihilist robot who thinks the world is meaningless and all needs to die, and I'm the funny robot who just likes to watch the world burn. It's just like, that's the same character, and that's also the same character that you've written in all your other games. And I mean, like, all this would maybe be moot if, like, the shooting itself actually felt good, but it doesn't. It, like, just half the characters have these, like, really long wind-up times on how long it takes their bullets to actually, like, go across the map. So, like, it never really feels like you're having a great impact with anybody. Like, there's a sniper bow lady who I just despise. Like, I have a video of me out there of just, like, pointing at this fucking mine point blank with her bow, and like the arrows going through the mine, and one of them hits and damages it, and then the next six don't, because like the game just either doesn't know what I'm doing, or her bow is that inaccurate, or the game is just like having dice rolls in the background that doesn't know that I'm that, and that isn't told me about. Fuck, there's just so much bad stuff to say about this game, is I almost want to be done with it so we can talk about all the other good games, because a bunch of other good games came out recently too.
You know, every time somebody mentions Battleborn, I keep thinking of Battlecry, which was
Battlecry,
that Bloodborne. Or Bloodborne. Well, yeah. Battlecry was that very similar multiplayer.
Fucking, who is that? That's Ubisoft or Bethesda?
It's Bethesda. That game was supposed to be out initially in 2015. And they still have their beta sign up on their website. Their last news clip was from E3, June 17th, 2015. So something tells me that game's not coming out. There's been like absolute silence. But anyways, every time I hear Battleborn, I always thought it was that Battlecry game.
Nope.
Until I realized, nope, it's not that.
Well, because 90 of these games all have the same fucking name. It's like, you know, like even Overwatch is kind of like guilty of that to a degree.
Almost. Yeah, exactly. New names. What else have you been playing?
Overwatch. I played a little bit of that.
All right. Good.
So that's fun. That's a way better game, actually.
Yeah, that's what everybody's been saying. Can't wait for that one.
What about it? Like, there's a Overwatch. I mean, like, I don't know if any of you guys have played any Overwatch. Have you?
I didn't play any of the latest beta.
I've played a couple of matches. Yeah.
Yeah, you have. Okay. It's that's a much better game. Like, and it's almost unfair to compare it and Battleborn at a certain point, which is another thing that people have said a million times.
Right.
Because they're not the same thing. Like, Overwatch is very much a we're making Team Fortress 2, or, you know, we're making a team-based, you know, it's a class-based first-person shooter, which I feel like kind of happened for a little while around, like, the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 days, but then just kind of never took off in the way, in this way, and maybe it's just because we needed to reach a point where, like, internet connectivity and, like, internet services like Xbox Live were strong enough that we could do that stuff, and by then Call of Duty had taken over and it was the biggest thing in the world, so everybody makes their games the same way, which is to say that you have a, you start at level 0 and you get up to level 4, and at level 4 you unlock the red dot sight, and then you unlock the grenade launcher, and then you unlock this and this and this, whereas in these kind of games it's just you have what you have at the very beginning of the game, which is the one thing that makes it semi-mobile like, but there is no progression whatsoever. It's just like instantly recognizable. Like I right off the bat, I know what's going on with my character because they've only got 3 abilities and I'll learn how to use them. If I don't know how to use them at first, I will learn soon enough. And they do such a, like, the whole game has this like cleanliness to it, like this clean look that I really appreciate. That looks like an Apple commercial. It looks like an iPod commercial every time I'm watching that thing, you know, being played, like a iPod commercial with, Pixar graphics.
Sure. That's due next week, right?
Yeah, that's like Tuesday.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else? Anything else you've been playing?
Doom is another one.
Yeah, I want to hear your take on this, actually.
Again, I feel like I'm kind of, I mean, I know it's been a while. I know people miss me, but if it's been a little while here, or it's if the, I'm taking too much of the conversation.
You're playing the original Doom, right?
Yeah, I'm playing the original Doom.
1990X.
Yes, 1990X is Doom. no, I'm playing the 20XDX Doom, okay, which is a game published by Bethesda, because they own id now, which is a weird thing. But this is actually like an id game though. Like this is the first game that id has made since Rage, which was not a good game. It was the Battleborn of its day, you might say. Some would.
I think Rage is better than Battleborn.
I think you're right. I don't like Rage at all, and I think you're right. And boy, howdy, like, where were they at between, like, whoever designed Doom must have just come into that company recently, because, like, I feel like they had Quake 4 and then they had Rage, and both of those were big clunkers, and then Doom just comes along, and it's, like, the biggest thing in the world, at least among the people that I follow on Twitter. It's great. It's so fun. Now, have either of you guys played it at all?
Very briefly. I actually played some of the multiplayer.
I feel like I'm maybe taking up too much of the conversation.
No, it's fine.
So the thing about Doom is that they did it. They did the thing that they had been promising to do for so long, which is to, like, modernize Doom. And it turns out the way that they do that is not by actually just taking what makes Doom Doom, because I feel like a bunch of games have tried to do that in the past, like your Shadow Warrior HDs and your Rise of the Triad remakes and your stuff and your Serious Sams and stuff. And it's just like they took the concept of, in one of these games you just shoot a lot and you never really do much else, but they didn't take the character and the flow of how that shooting actually works necessarily. Which this game just absolutely nails. Like, the constant, like, okay, well, I'm in this room, and this room has 8 enemies in it, or however many enemies in it, and there's a health pack on the ground, right? And I'm at half health, I've got 8 guys to kill, but that health pack will heal me to full. So I should really wait till I'm lower health than I am now to use that health pack and not use it right away. And, like, that kind of push and pull of the game is just so, like repeat that, like, for 8 hours or whatever. Like, it's just so perfectly done.
That it reminds me of the effort that I think it was a machine put in for last year's, or a couple of years ago, maybe it was Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein, sorry.
Which was just another Wolfenstein, which was a terrific game also. I really enjoyed Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein is also incredible. Yeah, it's a very different kind of game than this, which
but also
is,
originally created by id Software.
But also, yeah, well, sort. I mean, there's Wolfenstein and there's Wolfenstein 3D and that whole nonsense. But yeah, like so that was another game where they captured the spirit of Wolfenstein. Like, and part of what the one thing that those two games do have in common to a certain extent is like this sort of very large open areas where like okay, it's the shooting is the shooting and the shooting is fun. But the reason you're also here in this area is because it's full of, like, key cards and elevators mm-hmm. and secrets. And it's like this Metroid Prime-y like thing to it where you just want to find all the stuff in these levels. And they filled these levels with really cool stuff that's like very useful to your character because that's how you progress through the game. It's not just like we took Call of Duty and just you level up now. You know, it's like you have to find these secrets hidden in these levels, these little Funko Pop figures and these little tiny corpses of children.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's Doom is a hardcore game. What can I say?
One of the really interesting things about Doom is that this is actually they kind of went around in circles creating this game a little bit because the original concept for Doom, which I guess didn't go over well internally, was like Call of Duty ish. Right, it had scope shooting and all that kind of stuff, which just didn't go along with what Doom was. So.
Which is what they did with Doom 3, right? Like they didn't make it Call of Duty like, but they looked at what shooters were at the time and said, okay, how can we make that, but put Doom characters in it? Whereas in this one, they said like, how can we make a Doom game that has some of the elements that we like from modern shooters. Instead of taking the modern shooters and then putting Doom elements in them, they went the other way around. And that's why you have like, okay, I can look up and I can shoot up, you know, like that right there, solid. They have like the lore is like told through lore such as it is told through terminals and old logs and stuff and that sort of thing. And like, okay, so that's important. And that's it. That's actually smart. Like, I feel like there's been a real pushback against like audio logs and stuff in games, which I kind of agree with to a certain extent. But in Doom, I think it's perfectly fine because they're like, it means they use it to good effect here, which is to say like, no, we're just not. It's not that we have story that we should be telling you up front that we're putting in these logs. It's we're Doom. Our story is stupid, and you don't want to hear it necessarily. On our terms, what if you could, but we have some really dumb things to say and it's really funny that we would say them at all. So like, what if we, you know, what if we put them in here for people who want it, but you could get to it on your own pace. And they do that to a great degree, to great effect. Especially when you factor in like the super strong opening of this game.
Right. Which I've heard is great. We'll leave it to, leave it to the folks' imagination when they get a chance to play. Because there's a ton of... There have been so many good games coming out recently. Or
Uncharted 4, it's Doom.
A really good area. Yeah. Well, we have Overwatch, Doom, Uncharted 4. There's a bunch of other things coming out, too. Star Fox.
That was a bad game.
That was amazing. Sam, what have you been playing?
It's funny that you mentioned Uncharted 4 and good games, because I played Uncharted 4, and I don't necessarily agree with that statement.
Weird, huh? Interesting.
I think.
Oh, and we lost Sam.
Sam said some words this whole time because I've been fucking jawing off everybody's ears. And it's like, suddenly Sam finally gets his moment, and it's like.
Nope. The internet came and struck me down after saying such blasphemous terms. But I was hoping Tom was here for this too, because Tom's been tweeting about how cool Uncharted 4 was all day.
Unfortunately, Randy Pitchford had him killed.
Yeah.
Wait, no. I mean, Walt Disney. I don't know who's in charge of who does Tom hate again? Can somebody help me with this? No. Okay.
Tom hates everybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just about everything. I've been struggling with this because I think Uncharted 2, as most people do, is like an incredible game, but I'm not sure that the series has really moved past that. I don't know if either of you have played Uncharted 4 or if you've beaten it.
Yeah, I've been playing.
I've played a good chunk of it. Have not beaten it.
You know, as always, like the storyline in Uncharted games are really good. There's a couple of moments that I question character motivations in that game. Mm-hmm. I'll let it slide because it's not my narrative that I'm telling, but I just think that, to me at least, most of this game, and my brother is really who pointed it out, is my brother's just like, why don't they call this a point and click adventure game? Because half the time you're just pushing a direction and hitting the X button to jump. Arguably that's what Uncharted's always been and stuff like that. But I would say that you are a much more passive player in this game, unless you're talking about the shootout sections, than you are in something like The Order or Until Dawn.
Well, I super disagree with the maybe not Until Dawn, because Until Dawn I think actually does things really well, but The Order very much not. Like The Order is the order really is just hold forward on the stick.
It's exactly sure. what it was.
Well, yeah. sure, but that's the thing is like in some facets, like Uncharted and the Order, like are kind of similar. Like they're both third person like cover based shooters that occasionally make you hit buttons during cutscenes, like you know they're both 30 frames a second because they gotta look super good.
I don't want to interrupt you too badly, but like I want to just say like I know where you're going with this and where you're coming from and everything. I just also kind of think that like I think you're making an interesting point and a good point that should probably be made, but I also think that this is like the wrong game to make it because I also feel like this is the Uncharted game that is like the most open with that stuff specifically the what you call it the I'm sorry, I'm playing Dota at the same time, you might have heard
what game?
Oh. Well, and like I don't disagree, like you know that mm-hmm. comparison is like not really fair, and like you know I understand that these like the combat arenas are open for once in sort of Uncharted. You have more like adjustability to how you're gonna do things, like in scenarios stealth is actually an option that's like yeah. suggested and not really just forced upon you during sections. Mm-hmm. But even still in those engagements, like, you know, other than the rope swing, which arguably, like, it is comical that, like, there's certain points in that storyline where it's like, oh, hey, let me look around for something to help you get up. And it's like, well, I have a grappling hook, man. Like, you could just hook this around something up there for me. But you know, the shooting really hasn't changed since 2. Mm-hmm. You know, they spent so much time with that engine of being like, oh, well, now when you're climbing up, things people are shooting down on you, and they don't ever do that in 4.
And that was one of my favorite things in 3.
Maybe yeah. I mean I have definitely like it's definitely maybe not happened as much as it does in 2 or something like, or like 3, but I've definitely encountered instances where like dudes are like taking their guns out and I'm like hanging down off of a thing, and yeah. then a dude takes his gun out and like points the gun over the lip of the wall he's behind and is starting to shoot at me. So I've definitely encountered that a little bit.
Well, sure, but like I don't know, like I don't think that like the combat is necessarily that interesting, and I understand that that's not what people go to Uncharted games for, and it's not what I went to Uncharted 4 for. And like I think the game is super pretty. I think that every, you know, all the environments are like super nice to look at. Like, you know, I towards the end of that game, like things are like sincerely beautiful. And even in the beginning, like there's chunks throughout that are like jaw-dropping when you just think about them like being in the scale of games, and like with Uncharted storytelling and stuff like that involved in it. And there's like truly good stuff about it, but I feel like if you just look at the single player and remove any sort of lineage that Uncharted had or like any sort of like love affair you have with characters and stuff, and I understand, again, this is part 4, so like you would think that you would want to go back and play it. I'm just thinking about like people that played the Uncharted collection recently and haven't lived or grown up with sort of Drake's and expected like this stuff. They're essentially sort of been playing, like if you played Uncharted 1 through 4 now on the PS4, you essentially played the same game like 4 times mm-hmm, over. Mm-hmm. And I could see how that like could definitely turn people off. And the one thing that I will say that stood out about that game to me is the multiplayer in Uncharted 4 is surprisingly really good. I think it's called Plunder, where you have to, Plunder might be the capture the flag one, but Command maybe, where you have to, like, there's like 3 bases and then like a commander gets chosen for a team that the better they do, the more helpful they can be to their team. Well, also, it's more, if you kill them, you get more points for your team. I think those are like really good. I don't know how much longevity it's going to have since you're only unlocking vanity items and there's ranked playlists, but
yeah, who would ever want to play a game where all you unlock is vanity items? Am I
right? Yeah, correct. Nobody does that.
It's like, oh, yeah. By the way, I just spent $27 today on Dota hats.
Oh, Lord.
there's this thing called the Battle Pass, right? So yep. you put money into it. No.
But like, I think, yeah, I think that game like is good. I just don't like, I would have a hard time telling somebody to go out and buy the Uncharted collection and then being like, oh, did you enjoy that? Because then go get 4. Because it's arguably the same thing.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, well, I'm going to say that I as much as I am an absolutely huge Uncharted fan, and I mean, I've played all the Uncharted. So some of my best friends are Uncharted. I even played the Vita game.
I platinumed the Vita game. Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, there you go. It does feel like more of the same, and I think this is to me what I kind of figured as Uncharted 4. It's the most Uncharted game of the series, but it's still definitely Uncharted, and it hasn't really strayed from the Uncharted formula. 2 was a decent sized jump from over 1 or the first Uncharted game, but since then they haven't really mixed it up. I mean, the shooting is still the same, and it's still not that great. The multiplayer, I haven't played any of the multiplayer in 4 yet, but the multiplayer in the past games wasn't anything special to me. And you're still climbing on ledges and hanging and doing superhuman feats. And yeah, they kind of tried to explain it a little bit in this, but it doesn't quite work the same way. But yeah, I just think of the opening scene. This isn't really a spoiler, but the opening scene in Uncharted 4 is, and this is literally the first like 3 minutes of the game. You're in a boat. And your goal is to ram the other boats out of the water that are around you so that you can take out enemies. If you literally touch any of the other boats with, like, a pixel, the other boats seem to just kind of explode in the water, which to me is like, whoa, that's completely not, you know, not realistic. And I understand it's a video game, but the unchartedness is still there, I guess is what I'm saying. It's not a horrible thing. It's just
everything explodes in Uncharted. Like you flip over like a wooden crate and it.
I still fucking love this game. It's a small Uncharted is known for small evolutions, very minuscule evolutions. I think that's
a hard weird thing to say in a series that only has 4 games in it when you're like
five games.
Five if you include a game that was made by different people on a different system, if you were giving me this argument in Uncharted 3 or Uncharted Golden Abyss, mm-hmm. I would totally be 100% down with you. And I think the point you're making is good and important in its own way and stuff. I just feel like this is a weird one to bring that to have that battle for, because like I do feel like this one feels. More, like the climbing and stuff is like they got rid of all the yellow handholds, you know, like it's not just
that,
it's not just a big random string of yellow handholds. When the climbing is, I mean, maybe the climbing sections that are only climbing, there is a little bit of the like, oh yeah, I'm just here to climb from left to right, but they integrate now the climbing into the stealth and the combat and stuff like that, where you can use climbing to see people, and if you're spotted, you can evade them and like break their line of sight and go hide behind cover, and then you won't be you'll be back into stealth, and you can jump mm-hmm. in and out of stealth on the fly like that, and like in these big giant open arenas where the climbing can be used to go in many many different directions, and like the character stuff is so much more I feel anyway heartfelt and like important to what makes these people tick sure. more than just like sure. what makes these people like fun to watch. Like the whole stuff early on in the game, like that game has like I'm not saying the game is perfect. The game has like 4 openings the same way that like Return of the King has 5 endings. This game has 5 openings. Like there's the boat stuff that you mentioned earlier. There's some young Drake stuff. Mm-hmm, there's some mm-hmm. other stuff like showing like Drake post Uncharted 3. And it just never ends. Like it's just like, okay. We're here. Okay. Now we're in the game. like that stuff though is all serving the purpose of these characters in a way that none of the other Uncharted games have done. They've come close and they've tried with some of the stuff in 3 and the earlier parts of 3, but this one commits to it in a way that I really appreciate much more than I do in those other games. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm not one of those people who like looks at Uncharted 1 and 3 and 2 and says like, oh, Uncharted 2 is such a massive leap forward for the franchise, and by comparison Uncharted 4 is not the same leap over 3. I like Uncharted 2 a whole lot. I feel like this series has always kind of been more or less the same, and I've always sure. kind of been okay with
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, you are totally right too. It's Uncharted. It's Uncharted as hell.
But also, I think that the subtle refinements, where they've put their focus on the subtle refinements, aren't just carpeting over problems the way that, like, 3 was.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually, like, trying to do meaningful alterations to what the game is all about with the character stuff.
It's like, you know, it's like the iPhone, right? you went from plastic to silver. Silver to gold, and you really can't do much more than gold. It just kind of hangs. Oh, we'll make it rose gold, I guess, but it's still gold. And I kind of think of Uncharted the same way. By no means am I saying I'm disappointed in the kind of slow, slight evolution of Uncharted. I'm totally
by that logic, you would also be upset with the slow evolution of Apple products, and God knows
people actually are. No, but I'm fully enjoying Uncharted 4, and I love it because it is as Uncharted as Uncharted gets. I'm just, you know, I'm just making it a point to say, hey, if you like, from my standpoint, if you like Uncharted, then you're going to like Uncharted 4. Yeah. There's a review right there. Sorry, I'm time stamping.
Fans of the genre.
It's not even a genre. It's like, do you like Uncharted?
Fans of the series.
Like, you'll like this Uncharted, and that's it. Done.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know,
Uncharted,
I'm not saying
out of Uncharted stars.
I'm not saying that it's not fun because of these things. Like, I still really enjoyed my time. There was a lot more of that game that, and again, you know, it could just be I haven't played any of the Uncharted games in years, but there was a lot more during this that I remember sort of being bored waiting for something to happen than I do in the older ones. And then also, I don't remember the puzzles being as easy as they are in this game. Like, the puzzles are almost, you could, like, dumb luck your way into just hitting buttons and solving them in this one. Some of them are like it almost gets easier in puzzles the farther you go in the game.
I actually kind of appreciate that because like getting stuck on a puzzle in Uncharted has never been fun. I don't get to see any set pieces or anything crazy for the next 20 minutes because I can't figure out how to flip this cog in the right position. Yeah. Like, that has never been a thing that I've looked at in Uncharted and said to myself, like, oh man, I wish I had more of that. But like the idea of a puzzle is enough in Uncharted to me. Like, the idea that I am going through these characters' lives, these like old dead people's lives, and finding the stuff that they built and left behind, and they tried to protect it with these puzzles, knowing that those exist is enough for me in the narrative that is Uncharted, if that makes sense. Like having the hint of a puzzle. I don't know if I'm necessarily getting my
point across.
Your silence tells me maybe I'm not, but
I don't know. It's just some of this stuff is like it's supposed to be like, oh, well, you know, you screw up this puzzle and you die. And like, I understand it's a video game, so you can't put any weight to something that has like a respawn time of 2 seconds. But like, and this one definitely like removes a lot of the like sort of environment based puzzles. I know that especially in 2 and 3, a lot of the puzzles were, okay, well, you've hit this switch over here, so now spend 5 minutes climbing that direction to hit another one. And the more difficult puzzles here are
puzzles.
Like, yeah, they're like, there's like you're flipping things around or you're, you know, looking at a board that's like directly in front of you. You might have to turn around and hit something, but you're not like doing 10 minutes of platforming to go flip a switch.
Within the fiction of this universe, these puzzles were designed to be puzzles that could be solved by people. Like, you know, there are logical reasons why you would be able to solve these puzzles from the same spot in the room without having to climb to the next area, which I, like I said, think is actually what I like about the puzzles in this game is that the puzzles exist not because I love solving puzzles in Uncharted. They exist because they are there to heighten the feeling of that this is something that was important that people protected, that a bunch of like crazy pirates once protected. So here's this puzzle.
Well, that's Uncharted 4. What else have you been playing, Sam?
I've been messing around more with Valkyria Chronicles Remastered.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Tom and I are hopefully going to make a video actually
here
soon.
Nice.
Man, still, I think I actually talked about this on another one of our podcasts, but man, still a good game. It's the perfect game to look at a level and like maybe get through it in the night or get to a certain point and then just get completely destroyed and then go, okay, I'm going to sleep on it. And then tomorrow I'm going to start the thing over again and devise my new master plan to overthrow dictatorous European governments.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I still think that's a great package. The game runs so stably. Now it has all the DLC that was in the game, and I think if I remember right from my review thing, that that DLC you can't get off of Sony's store anymore. So the only way to get it is to buy it on this package, and it's only $40. So you get the game and DLC for $40, and that game is certainly, if you've never played it, it's hard to come by. Still, definitely worth full price, I think. So. Discount thing. The only downside of it, the PS4 port, is that I don't think they re-rendered the PS3 cutscenes, because there's still like quite a few like really bad jaggies and stuff in the cutscenes. But the character models for the actual gameplay look updated and super nice. So I'd say play it if you're at all into like sort of strategy games like Advance Wars, you know, fans of the genre.
Sure.
Type stuff like that. Like, I would definitely look at that. It's a lot like that Lost Dimension game I reviewed for Vita and PS3. I'm going to say late last year. Sort of the same, like, free-based movement and then deciding to take an action or not take an action. Yeah. I think that was one of the best games on PS3, and I think it's still solid now.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah, I never played it. Never played the original one. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to this one, although I have my massive backlog, which I'll get to in a second.
It's also it's a super cool game. Super cool game. Super good game to play on like the Vita remote play and stuff like that. I know it's been going around recently about how to get remote play running on Android devices that aren't Sony branded.
Sure.
So I've been playing it a lot like that. Just like riding on an exercise bike and having a tablet set up next to me and playing that.
Nice.
I think that's a great way to play that. You know, almost built perfectly for that type of system, since you don't really need like quick reaction times and you only really need like circle and X to make things happen.
Sure. Cool. What else? Anything else you've been playing?
Not really. I mean, just playing some Smite and stuff, but hopefully nice. Getting on Overwatch.
You're getting into Smite. I see.
You're playing a bad MOBA instead of the one good MOBA, the one.
Uh-huh.
I see. And hey, if they brought Dota 2 or League of Legends to consoles, I would bail on Smite in a heartbeat. It's just it's strictly because anytime I try to run any MOBA on my computer, it can't run above like 15 frames per second. Like everybody has a PS4 now, so you gotta play them. That's it. True. Hopefully Paragon's good. Who knows? I could be on that Paragon grind in like a
That's
month.
True. I mean, Paragon is definitely the most Dota-like of the MOBA, of these weird MOBA Battleborn-y type things that have been coming out. So if I had to advise you to play any of them, it would be the one that's most like Dota. You know, you might have heard that I like Dota. I'm playing it right
you
now.
You like Dota?
I don't know. Yeah.
The only problem with Paragon, actually, I think they have a free weekend this weekend or next weekend. But like, it's going to be a free-to-play game, and by no means am I going to pay the like $40 or $30 Founders Pack that you have to pay now to play, like to get access to Paragon.
Sure.
Like, I understand like if you want to buy like a Founders Pack or like something like that, like after you've played a free-to-play game for a while,
right,
totally cool. But like, your introduction to a free-to-play game should not be to drop like $30 on it immediately.
Mm-hmm, there's a $60 version of it out there, I believe, yeah, that they're working on.
Cool.
$60 version of a free-to-play game.
Yeah. That's always fun. That's like Elder Scrolls Online, right?
That's the I guess that's every MMO ever, really, to a certain degree.
Lately, right?
Yeah, WildStar.
Yeah. Well, my God. Well, I have been continuing my backlog, and it's been a lot of fun. I gotta say, I had a slight bump in the road with a lot of the traveling that I had to do through April and May, so I do have to give an update to the backlog here, but I have been playing that hot new jam, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. That was, 2 years ago, Call of Duty? Just about to finish that. It's actually a surprisingly good game, at least from a Call of Duty standard, so not bad. Let's see what else have I been playing. I have been playing Uncharted 4. We talked about that. Fire Emblem is still fantastic. I do a lot of the DLC has been really good for that. And I've finished the Birthright, and I'm going to pick up Conquest at some point this summer. So I want to get.
You didn't get in on that special edition right away. That
No, that was gone by the time I tried to get into it. But
same here, and I crimed my way into a copy.
Oh, did you? Nice. And so, but I have picked up Bravely Second, which is
okay. Well, I'm done. Goodbye, everybody. It's really good being on this podcast.
Yeah, Bravely Second is terrific. It I loved the first Bravely Default,
okay. No, except I'm for just being the a dick now.
Yeah. So you are Tom Johnson-ing.
Yes, I'm. Well, I mean, Tom Johnson is not here. Somebody has to pick up the mantle. That's true. As long
He's
as story
stuck in traffic, as long as story mantle. but the you know, it's more Bravely Default, and they've added a few new classes in there, but it's more of that turn-based classic JRPG goodness, Final Fantasy goodness that we all love.
So you're saying it's more Bravely Default, right?
It's more Bravely Default.
So it's I a like bad it. Game. Okay.
They have the Catman answer in there now, right?
That's true. Yeah. I haven't gotten that quite that far, but yeah, they have a lot of cool things in there. So, let's see what else. What else? I'm Uncharted 4. All those Pixel Cross games and
Pixel Cross. Yeah. Do you mean Picross?
Picross games. Thank you. on the 3DS, I've been playing like every single one of those. And my latest jam, and this is horrible, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but my latest jam is Doomsday Clicker on iOS. I don't know what it is about clicker games, but I always seem to get sucked into a clicker game for like a week and a half, where I'm just tapping, get home from work. The ones that I have on the PC or on the laptop is usually get home from work and make sure the window is still open and keep tapping. and then stop tapping and then go back like 5 minutes later and tap again. So. No, I mean, I don't know what it is. Doomsday Clicker, another stupid clicking, tapping game on my mobile device.
Well, let me tell you about a game called Dota 2. You click in that a whole lot, but then you can put money into it.
I have a to-do list. Maybe I should call it a to-Dota list, because I want to get into Dota at some point this year. So
no, you don't.
We'll see if...
Don't lie. Don't lie to this. No, young people.
No one wants to get into Dota.
No one wants to get into
Dota. Nobody gets into Dota. Dota is a thing that happens to you.
Other than that, Cathy Rain. I've been playing Cathy Rain, which is... I previewed that at PAX East, and as is the case with what happens at PAX East is...
It stays at PAX East, so we're not...
Yeah, whatever happens to... No, you go to... Except for the PAX box. You go to PAX East, and you try a game preview, and then like a week and a half later, you get the review code. That seems to have happened
quite a bit
from PAX East. We got a bunch of review codes. So, but yeah, Cathy Rain is just a classic point-and-click adventure game. Check it out. I'll have more to say when my review goes live. But that's it for me. I haven't had a chance to really dive into... Oh, my Lord, I'm yawning. I'm so old, guys. Haven't had a chance to really dive into much. Just lamenting the death of Disney Infinity.
Yeah.
Are you? Were you a big Disney Infinity guy?
No. There are a couple of the characters that I picked up. Like, I think everybody got the Hulkbuster.
You were Mr. Skylanders for a while.
Skylanders first, then Amiibo, and that was it.
There should probably, towards the end of June, be a fire sale on all those Disney Infinity toys.
Right.
I bet there will be. Holy shit. They got a million Hulks to move.
Well, some of them, right? The Hulkbuster. Or the Hulk, yeah. Then you get the Hulkbuster, which everyone seems to want. But my local Best Buy was selling the Hulkbuster for $2.99. With the Gamers Club online.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I bought like one or two of them.
That's pretty nice.
What's interesting to me is, we know there's a new Skylanders game coming out this year, but will there be a new LEGO Dimensions game? Have they mentioned if that is going to be?
No, I don't believe they've said the words like LEGO Dimensions 2 or 2.0 or whatever they'll call it.
You think they'll just have more packs being released? I think they'll just probably do a few more of the PAX rest this year, right?
I know they said, I don't think it was the Simpsons one, but I remember seeing an article that was just like, you know, we're finished with like season one worth of content, like be on the lookout for like season two or whatever they called them.
Okay.
But like, I don't think they've released anything since like shortly after the Doctor Who PAX came out.
Right.
Although they've released a bunch since then, because they had the classic, they have more Ghostbuster stuff has come out, and they had that kind of classic 80s gamer pack that came out where actually had the 80s Midway games.
That's right, the Midway Classics pack. Yeah, yep.
So there have been a few packs. Maybe those are the season two that they had. But I'm not sure. I don't know what's going to happen with LEGO Dimensions. I don't know how it's selling. I haven't heard anything about its sales. It's still way too expensive to pick up for any console.
That has been kind of coming out in the wake of all this Disney Infinity stuff was that the problem was that like LEGO Dimensions entered the market and like nothing else left the market. No new customers. Yeah, it was just
the market share didn't change, and like there was somebody else in it now eating a section of it.
The market didn't grow. It just a different section was eaten. Exactly.
It stayed the same size, and then just more people were eating that.
No, it's totally true, right? More people are eating out of the same pie.
There's only one pie. Sad times, you know.
Get more pie.
I love some pie right now.
I think in a weird way, everybody kind of complained about Amiibo not being tied to any game. That may be what's actually kind of saved Amiibo, is that they're not tied to any specific game and they can just keep releasing these stupid little plastic toys.
I mean, because at that point, at least, like, when that's the case, the people who are buying it aren't lying to themselves. They're not, like, telling themselves, like, oh, I'm doing this because I really enjoy this crappy video game that comes with this toy. No, I just want to throw my money away on some garbage, some plastic fucking garbage. Now that you're taking that part away, I'm free. I'm clean.
I have two Robs. I have two woven Yoshis. I'm never going to use them in a game. What's wrong?
Here's a news fact. It appears that I was sort of right. They released the Doctor Who stuff in January, and then in March and also on the 10th of May they released two Ghostbusters packs.
Okay.
But as far as I can see, that there's currently no announced plans for anything past those Ghostbusters packs.
I'm interested to see what happens then. Well, that's basically all we had for today, folks. That was a good week. We actually managed to talk for an hour, right? What's that?
Is that the whole thing?
Yeah, that's the whole show.
Got through the whole thing before Tom even got here. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, you know what's going to happen is right when I'm about to hit the stop broadcast button, he's going to show up. He's like, hey, fuckers, I'm here to Tom Johnson this podcast.
Here to talk about my 2 million subscribers.
My 2 million subscribers on YouTube. What was it? Comment and like or whatever that was?
Yeah, comment, subscribe and like below.
Subscribe, like, and comment below.
Tell us what you think.
Tell us what you think after the jump.
Right.
Yeah.
Ah, good times. I'm sure we're going to have more good times coming up here as the train begins to pick up speed towards E3. Steven, thank you for joining us this wonderful week.
You bet.
Well, it's good to hear you talk while you play Dota. It was good.
Yeah, I actually just wrapped
up my old times. You're like, I'm done playing now. Let's talk about games.
Just like how I used to always distract myself during everything. No, actually, so like I told my party that I'm quitting out because I've got that way you guys can find somebody who's not distracted. And then as soon as I said that and left the party, you said, okay, well, that's all we have for this week. I'm a man torn between two worlds and a citizen of none.
Torn in two worlds. You are the man in the middle of Marvel Civil War. Sam, thank you for being alive. First and foremost,
always good to be alive and breathing, sucking back that air and living on the taxpayer's dollar, you know?
Sam, thanks for sucking on the teat of the fucking American taxpayer. Jesus.
Taxpayer air.
What have you ever done playing video games for a living?
Ugh. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Thanks to Tom for not joining us.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom, for not bringing his vile hatred.
His vitriol towards.
Just acid. He sprays with every word.
You can find us at SideQuesting on the Twitters, sidequesting.com. Rate and review us. Comment, like us on YouTube and iTunes and anywhere else. This way, Google Play. Is Google Play a thing? I think it's a thing. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. Where can we find you, Sam?
On Twitter.com at Sam the I-79, but you won't see any tweets there since, like, I don't know, January maybe?
I think since PAX.
Yeah, since PAX, like, maybe even if, like, I tweet occasionally. I don't know. Find me on Instagram. I don't even know what my name is. I'm more active on there, and it's usually just like, oh, hey, now I'm filming on the top of a rickety roof for a day, or now I'm filming inside of a sweaty gym for an afternoon. I don't know. See really disgusting, vile places that I have to take cameras occasionally.
Well, today was send a nude photo to a friend day, so yeah. Just follow Sam on
On
Instagram.
I don't know.
Follow Insta me Sam. We call it Insta Sam.
If you follow me on Twitter, send me ideas on how to make Tom angry in a given day.
Let's play a Meeple Festival. That's number
really
one way
my to make favorite, it. Or actually, I tell you what, hold on. Do other closing things, all right. and I'll come back to you.
Steven, where can we find you?
Don't look for me. What are you doing? You can find me at zam.com, which is, like I said, that's actually the, you know, like all the other sites, people, they know the Ars Technicas, they know the IGNs of the world. But Zam is a really cool, and you should go see those sites too. They're amazing. But you should really check out that site I work for called zam.com. That's ZAM. You can find a lot of my work on there, a lot of video stuff. We do a lot of video stuff. That's what I've been doing a lot of lately. A lot of battle porn videos. God help me.
Did you say battle porn?
Battle porn videos. Yep. I mean, hey, that cosplay has to go somewhere eventually. you can find me there. You can find me at IGN where I write, I'm doing a few things here and there. And Ars Technica, I'm always doing something. So you can also find me on Twitter at Steven Strom on Twitter with a V, that is, STROM for my last name. Not Storm, as so many people do think my name is, but it is not. That's about excellent. It. Yeah, I mean, don't look for me on Facebook because I never check it. You can try. Like,
what's even a Facebook?
What is a Facebook? Like, why would I put my face in a book?
Why would you put your face in the book? That's well, that's Twitter. It, that's except for we're not going to mention Tom, or will we?
Okay, wait, hold on. I've got a mission for everybody to do for me. If you want to get me active on social network, dear friends of SideQuesting, please do me a favor and go to a friend of the podcast and cite Dylan Martin's Twitter account. You'll know you're there because that money hat has a picture of Kat surrounded by money as his top photo. Just go there, and whenever he does, like, a very serious business post, just act like a fanboy of, like, Xbox or PlayStation, because he really enjoys that. You know, he's talking about businesses coming to the Boston area. Just ask him when they're coming to Xbox. He'll super appreciate it and love seeing everybody there. So just do that. You can link me if you want. Because he just really loves hearing from fanboys. So he supports... all types of manners and whatnot. Just go bother him.
So one of the ones earlier that he posted from 15 hours ago was PRX spins out Radio Public, a startup for better podcast tech. And the Boston website that he writes for. So I don't write down, but does it work for Xbox?
Exactly.
But is it coming to Xbox?
And those are the types of comments that they want on their website, their exactly. very serious business website too. So I mean, just go and share your love for your platform of choice on its wall.
All right, everybody, we'll see you on the next side quest. Adios, peace, love, recycle.